Today on The Balanced Word.
I believe personally that God is working in your life right now. You go, oh, come on. No, really. On a daily basis, I believe that He is trying to work out His plans in your life. And I believe He wants to use you in a way that's much more significant than you could ever fathom. But we have to keep our eyes open to what He's doing, because I think most of the time when God wants to do great things through us, we miss out. We take a wrong turn, we're skeptical, we're afraid. For whatever reason, I think we miss most of what God wants to do in our lives. And He ends up working in other ways.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Glad to have you with us for The Balanced Word as we begin a new series. We take you to Esther today, and you can't help but see the providence of God throughout this story. God is at work in the world and also in and through our very own lives. We'll key in on the phrase spoken in chapter 4, for such a time as this. It conveys something powerful to us. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe.
There's something within each of us that causes us to make plans. We have ideas of what we want to do. We get a vision of what we think we need to do. And there's nothing that's more human than this desire to get a handle on what's going to happen. It's why there are so many gadgets. It's why there are so many books and planners and day timers and day planners and Palm Pilots and pocket PCs and cell phones with to-do lists and all those sorts of things, all designed to help us to get a handle on what's going to happen. We make plans. We have dreams. There are ways that we think things are going to work out. The problem is, so often we find ourselves disappointed. We have these appointments that we schedule and these plans that we make, but it doesn't work out the way we thought. We find ourselves just let down, discouraged, disappointed. But often the truth is, if we could see behind the scenes and see what God's doing in our life, we'd find out that a lot of these things that bring disappointment to us are actually divine appointments from God. It's actually God working His plan out in a way that when we see it, we don't recognize it for what it is. But if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we understand that God is working in our life, often in an amazing way, and He provides us with opportunities to be used by Him to do things that are significant for Him. And yet, so often, I'm convinced we miss our divine appointments because of our own personal disappointment and our own desire to do things our way. See, I think I know what's best for my life, and so I can pretty much plan it out. The truth is, it doesn't usually work out the way I plan. And that's why I need to understand this principle of divine appointments. God working in our lives in a special and a unique way. If I don't get it, I will be disappointed, no doubt about it. But if I understand that He's working, then when one of my appointments doesn't work out, I can recognize maybe it's one of His. Maybe this is what He wants to do in my life, and that's more important. There was a little gal named Esther that the book of Esther is about, and it's a fascinating book. We'll be looking at it the next couple of weeks on Wednesday nights, but Esther was a girl who was born into a really difficult situation. She was a Jewish gal at a time when all the Jews were slaves. They had been taken into captivity, and here she was a subject of one of the most powerful empires, the Persian Empire, ever. Ahasuerus was the king, and he was ruling everywhere from Ethiopia down there in North Africa, all the way across the Middle East, all the way to India in Asia. And here she was, born as a slave. Not only that, a girl without a country, both of her parents end up being tragically killed. And so she's an orphan in a strange land, without parents, without hope, without a future. And there she was. But it's amazing. She ended up being raised by her cousin, Mordecai. Mordecai was a lot older than she was, so it's this distant relative who's an old codger, and now he's doing the best he can to raise a girl. And what does he know about girls? We don't know of him having any other family other than just her. What could be more bleak and depressing? But an amazing thing happens through a strange set of circumstances that weren't circumstances at all. God began to work. The first thing that happened is the queen, Vashti, got lippy with the king, Ahasuerus. She mouthed off one too many times and got booted as the queen. Next thing you know, they're having a beauty pageant, and Esther gets put in the beauty pageant, this little orphan girl. Now she's in the running to become the next queen of Persia. And amazingly, she won, and she became the queen. She was elevated to this position that was amazing. And as that happened to her, though, something bad happened. There was an evil guy who hated Jews, wanted to have them all killed. And so he cooked up this plot whereby this guy Haman had the approval to kill all Jews. And so now Esther, communicating back and forth with her cousin Mordecai, hears of this. And you can imagine the feeling that she has is the kind of feeling that so often people get. When they thought, you know, I learned to deal with disappointment. I learned to accept the fact that life is just crummy for me. But then it took a turn for the better. But then it took a turn for the worse. And now look at this. They're going to kill us. And now my cousin's pushing me to try to get me to do something about it. But in our country, if you go before the king and you look bummed, he'll kill you. Just because I'm the queen doesn't mean I can go in there and talk to him. We don't have that kind of a relationship. I'll risk my life if I bring up something negative. Plus, then everybody's going to find out I'm Jewish, and so I'll be nailed too. And it's in the middle of this discussion that here in Esther chapter 4, we pick it up in verse 13. Mordecai and Esther are passing messages back and forth through one of her servants. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther after she had said, hey, it's illegal, I can't go talk to the king about this. He said, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. But if you remain completely silent at this time, just lay low, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. The end of the story, God uses Esther to save the entire people of Israel. Later on, it's ironic that then her either son or stepson, Artaxerxes, is the one who allowed the children of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city when Nehemiah was working for him. It's this amazing story. It's this great turn of events. They've made lots of movies about it. It's an incredible story. But it's all about divine appointments. It's all about the fact that God can set things up for you better than you can set them up yourself. Appointments. The word means a couple of different things. An appointment is when you schedule a time for something, but an appointment is also when you're elevated to a particular position. Pretty soon, they're going to be picking someone to be appointed as Supreme Court Justice. As a little kid, dreams of being a Supreme Court justice, but someone's going to have that opportunity, maybe even two people this year. That's an appointment, but an appointment is also you need to be here at the right time. And God is working through all those kinds of appointments. The Bible tells us that promotion comes from Him. The Bible also tells us that our times are in His hands. He's in control of them. And more than anything else in my life, I want to make sure that I keep my appointments with God, that He does what He wants to do in my life. If He wants to use me to do something significant, oh, maybe I'll never be someone to save America. But whatever it is that God wants to do, I want to recognize it when it's happening, rather than to be disappointed in what God is doing because I wasn't able to keep all the appointments that I had planned. And that's an important lesson that we can learn from this story of Esther, seeing how God worked in such a weird way. Now, all of the things that happened to her, to be born as a slave, to have her parents die and to be raised by her cousin, to be good-looking enough to become the queen of the Empire of Persia at the time, and for all of this to happen. And again, the suggestion is, hey, Esther, maybe for such a time as this, that's why you are where you are. And I want to know that in case I end up in a weird place at a weird time, that I look for God's hand to be in it all, that I look for him to be leading. And that's what we should all desire, because I believe personally that God is working in your life right now. You go, oh, come on. No, really. On a daily basis, I believe that he is trying to work out his plans in your life. And I believe he wants to use you in a way that's much more significant than you could ever fathom. But we have to keep our eyes open to what he's doing, because I think most of the time when God wants to do great things through us, we miss out. We take a wrong turn. We're skeptical. We're afraid. For whatever reason, I think we miss most of what God wants to do in our lives. And he ends up working in other ways. Now, one of the first things that I noticed that's really striking here, and it's important for us to get this, is the way that Mordecai told Esther, you know, even though this is a chance to save Israel, he said, it doesn't depend on you. Get it out of your mind that the only way it's going to happen is if you do this. As he said there, if you just keep your mouth shut and stay out of the way, deliverance will arise for the Jews, verse 14, from another place. He said, you know, God can work without you. And I think it's important for us to realize that God's not depending on us. It's a good thing, too. So often, though, we communicate the idea that we've got to do this or God's in big trouble. I think a lot of the TV evangelists have kind of promoted this mentality, and we all buy into it, because you see them get up there day after day, week after week, talking about what dire circumstances they're facing. And if you don't give, God's sunk. We're going off the air. I mean, in the extreme case, obviously, one of the most ridiculous things ever in all of history was an evangelist who said, God came and told me that if you don't give me $8 million, God's going to kill me. He heard this from a 70-foot-tall Jesus there in his prayer tower. Come on. I mean, my attitude, I wanted to start a campaign to tell people, don't give, let's see what happens. But, I mean, he didn't get the money, but God didn't kill him either, but he will. But and I don't mean that mean, I'm just saying we're all going to die, but it didn't happen the way he thought it would. But God wants all of us to know that he's not depending on us, that it's not, the pressure isn't on us. He'll do it some other way, as Mordecai pointed out to Esther. Don't worry, it's not God's program that's at stake here. It's your involvement in his program that's at stake. But you don't have to do this. And, you know, I want to tell you, there isn't anything in this world that God wants to do that depends on me or that depends on you. And in some ways, that's sort of depressing. You mean, if I just walked away right now, then God would still work in the lives of everyone in this church without me being here? Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'd like to think that it would fall apart, because I want to feel like I'm really important. I'm important to God, but he only uses me because he wants to be close to me. It's not that he needs me. Now, if I start thinking that it depends on me, I'm in trouble, because the pressure is on, and I don't perform well under pressure. None of us do. You can convince yourself that you do, but all of us perform better, come through more, if we don't feel like everything's depending on us, if we can just do it for fun, if we can just do it to be a part of what God's doing. And Mordecai here with Esther is just letting her know right off the bat, I'm not trying to burden you with this. And God never tells us that we're to be burdened. He says, yeah, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. He doesn't want us to feel pressured. He doesn't want us to feel like he's counting on us or depending on us. That would be too much for us. So, you know, when they send the offering plate around, don't feel like, oh, man, I hate to do this, but I have to. God's taking it from me. Or, oh, vacation Bible school, I don't want to help with those snot-nosed little kids, but, you know, I'm afraid they won't have anyone, and so I better do it. It's just one day anyway. Or, oh, man, they need Sunday school teachers. Shoot, okay, fine. No, that's not the way God wants us to serve him. He says, do it willingly, cheerfully, or don't do it at all. It's no skin off my back. It's not a problem to me. You don't have to give. But it's kind of funny, we get into this mentality. Now, on the radio every day, someone calls up to ask about things like tithing. And I mean, just this last week, I answered questions like, twice we had the question, do you need to tithe on your net or your gross? That led into other questions. People are calling up and going, now, how about if you sell a house? Do you have to tithe on the profit? Which caused somebody else to say, what if you refinance and pull money out of your house? Do you have to tithe on that? And it's like, the idea is, God didn't say you have to tithe at all. He wants you to be able to give and participate in what he's doing if that's what you want to do, but you don't have to. He's not like squeezing it out of you, and he doesn't squeeze anything out of you. God's desire is to put into you things. Now, he gives you an opportunity to be blessed by being a part of what he's doing. Great. But don't feel pressured. It's not up to you. Know this. God's program does not depend on you. He can do it in another way. And that's what we learn here as Mordecai gives that to Esther as the bottom line right off the bat. But then he goes on to say, however, you're a Jew too, and you could die. A bunch of other people will die, but God will save his people. So the point here is, yeah, God doesn't need you, but it's going to be your loss if you don't become a part of what he wants to do. If you don't allow him to use you to do something spectacular, then you'll be a spectator watching. You won't get to be the person that is significant. Esther is a person that the Jews look back on as being a huge hero to them. And they have the Feast of Purim, which is a great time of celebration, to remember this time when Esther saved the nation of Israel. And it's a great story, the whole idea of the Feast of Purim, and we'll be getting into it on the next couple Wednesday nights. But God would have saved the nation if Esther had said no, but Esther would have lost out. She would have missed the opportunity to be a part of what God was doing. And so for us as well, if God is providing divine appointments, and we're zipping away from them, insuring ourselves against them, trying to avoid doing something. When something weird happens, we just look the other way. Then we lose. You snooze, you lose when it comes to finding opportunities to be used by God. So something pops up if we go, I don't like change. Some opportunity comes up, it's like, oh no, that's embarrassing. We miss out. That's the point. The third thing that I want you to notice here, and I love Mordecai's attitude when he talks to Esther. Now, if I was really trying to talk somebody into doing something, I would say, Esther, you need to do this. Thus saith the Lord, this is your opportunity for greatness. This is your chance to change the world. This is your chance to save the nation. And I know he's not going to let anything get in the way of it. God's going to work. But instead, what Mordecai says is kind of funny. He goes, you know, God can work in some other way. Might kill you, but yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He didn't say, Esther, you have come to the kingdom for exactly this purpose at exactly this time. It's not very reassuring, actually. He goes, who knows? Maybe God will save you. Maybe God will use you. Maybe not, but maybe, who knows? What I like about this is this to me is a very realistic portrayal of how God speaks to us and how he leads. Another way of describing this is, let me put it this way. Following God's divine appointments and hearing his voice, it's not an exact science. It's not something that's just very clear and plain in so many cases when it comes to God's variation on our plan. Now, that may freak you out, but let's face it, in reality, you know that's true. And so often we try to compartmentalize our life and pretend like it isn't. Let me just put this really plainly. When someone comes to me and says, God has told me this, and they're so sure of themselves, and often they come to me and say, God has told them to tell me something, and they're absolutely certain that it was God, I get suspicious. because God, most of the time, doesn't speak to me that way. I think he's talking. Seems like he's working. I'm ready to give it a try. I'm ready to consider it. But I want you to understand, when I talk about God speaking to me, most of the time it comes, and if I share with you what God is telling me to tell you, most of the time I'm going to say, you know what, I was thinking about you and praying for you, and I had this thought, it's kind of a gut feeling, and maybe it's the Lord, maybe it's not, but why don't you pray about this? Now you go, that doesn't sound very spiritual. We just want you to hear specifically from God, tell us exactly, you know, people want a pastor sometimes to be a magic eight ball. Okay, the answer is, and... But that doesn't happen to me any more than it happens to you. And if it happens to you all the time, God's just, you're so sure. There's a name, there's a word for that. Oh, I shouldn't say that. But in many cases, let me just put it this way. People that I know who are always knowing what God's telling them, they end up in a mental hospital. They end up on medication or something, trying to silence those voices. Because so often what those voices tell them to do, it turns out to be anything but God. Now, I'm not just speaking theoretically here because I was raised in a family where my father, who was paranoid schizophrenic, was always hearing from God. My dad heard God tell him to sacrifice my mom like Abraham sacrificed Isaac. And he stood over her with a knife as she was praying. And finally, he stopped and he dropped the knife with no explanation and he didn't do it. Now, my dad spent as much time praying and seeking the Lord as anyone I've ever known in my life. But understand this, he was mentally ill. And he thought he knew the voice of God. God doesn't generally speak that way. It's so often an impression. It's a leading. He surprises us. And I get, frankly, concerned for people who always hear what God says. I counseled another young man. It was one of the most heart-wrenching things I've ever seen, where he was reading in the Bible where it says, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. And he had been doing things, some things with his hand that he shouldn't have done, and he sawed his hand off. Because he was sure that God told him that. He plucked one eye out. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. And you're sitting there with somebody, and what am I going to tell him? You're not spiritual enough? Hey, I'll tell you right now, I'll go on record. If God tells me to sacrifice one of my sons, I'm not doing it. If God tells me to cut off my hand, I'm not doing it. I don't care. God can tell me any way, every which way possible. I'm not going to do it. So I'm not going to question the commitment of these people, but what I'm questioning is the sanity of people who are always just thinking that they're hearing all these special messages from God. That's not usually the way he speaks, and if you're expecting it to happen that way, and you're mentally healthy, it's not going to happen. And when God is speaking through whispers, through inclinations, through feelings, through freak events happening in your life, you might miss it. But I love the fact that Mordecai goes, who knows? Maybe this is God.
Thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolf. We're going through the book of Esther, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling 949-362-7475. Here's what's coming up tomorrow on The Balanced Word.
I try not to tell people what to do when they come to me for counsel. Because I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do. But what I will always tell people to do who are making major life decisions, I say, right now is the time when you need to be closer to God than you've ever been. And that's the best thing that you can do. When you don't have to just rush into something. Take some time and draw close to God and listen to Him and allow Him to work in your life in a way that'll maybe give you a little more indication one way or the other.
The story of Esther continues tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolf, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my